All right, y'all. It's the Nonsense and Deep Thoughts Podcast.
Wait. Come on. Hold on a second. Hold on.
Nonsense and Deep Thoughts are two sides of the same coin. They both represent a departure from the mundane and the ordinary. Both can be valuable in their own way, as they can help us to see the world in a new light and to gain a fresh perspective on our lives.
Here to talk to you about the paranormal, politics, and the meaning of life. Here are your hosts, Corey and Justin.
And don't forget about Jared. He's the producer in the background. You won't see him until he wants you to. The guy that makes these two look good.
What the fuck was that?
You know our good buddy Jared. He likes to play around with a lot of things. I really dig the tinfoil hats. Welcome everybody.
All right, why do you get a cool one and I get the fucking I don't even know.
Guys, I don't even know why I try to welcome you into the show, but welcome anyway to another episode of the Nonsense and Deep Thoughts podcast. It's good to be here, guys. Last week was a rough week for me. Man, I'm surprised I made it through two shows because I felt like dog shit. It was awful.
Listen, I'm still going to bitch. You're the conspiracy theorist.
I am.
You're the one who should have the fucking the pointy tinfoil hat.
I am, and I'm glad you mentioned that I'm a conspiracy theorist because our guest tonight, as I was listening to one of his episodes, I heard something from one of his guests that I really want to ask him about, but we'll get to that a little bit later on. We have a guest tonight, a special guest, and his name is David Figueroa, and he has a cerebral palsy and fitness podcast. So he talks about a lot of different things, and he talks about perseverance and overcoming different issues in life. And he also talks a lot about wrestling, which if you guys have listened the past couple of weeks, that's something that we're going to start delving into with our sports show a lot more of. So without further ado, since Justin's just sitting there staring at me funnily.
Well, I mean, you're funny looking.
I know. Let's welcome
you. You got a face for radio, my guy.
I know.
Hey, yo.
How's it
going
tonight, David?
Man?
I'm good. You know, happy to be here. Happy to be surrounded by wonderful people. And you guys get to be the first podcast I do this year. So I'm excited.
Ooh, it's a good start to the year then, David.
It is.
Do you prefer David or can I call you Dave?
Oh, you can call me Dave. I'm good with that.
Perfect.
I'm good with that.
All right. So I
first question because it spawned from Corey introducing you. So you have, is it cerebral palsy or cerebral palsy? Because I've heard
cerebral
it.
Palsy. He can say it that way. Either way.
Right. I've heard it both ways.
Cerebral palsy, for those of you that are kind of new to it, is something that's neurological. So when I was born 4 months early. So because that happens because I was born with lack of oxygen to the brain. So by that happening, it caused a lot of my organs, you know, as far as like my lungs and stuff, to become underdeveloped. So when I was born, I was the size of a water bottle. So picture that water bottle in your hand, hold it, and that's how big I was. When I was born.
Damn.
I was essentially a miracle, you know, by any means.
Dave, my man, I can 110% relate to that. I myself was not that small, but this past year, back in May, we welcomed our third child into this world 7 weeks early. And she came in weighing 3 pounds, 9 ounces.
Wow. So she was congratulations.
Thanks. She was a teeny tiny little peanut. And she has Down syndrome and needed surgery at 3 days old. So she had a TEF, which is a tracheoesophageal fistula. So it meant that her esophagus was not fully connected to her stomach. So that was scary. But yes, I definitely know the feeling of having a tiny little life sitting in the palm of your hands. It's wild.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure with you as a parent, as they grow up, you're gonna have to face a lot of those obstacles of, you know, roadblocks like education, you know, because you're gonna want her to be in the best position possible education wise. You want to be in the best position wise as far as the care she wants to get, resources, because some of these doctors, they'll give you, part of my language, they'll give you a lot of bullshit. You know, they'll tell you, oh, your child's not going to be this. He's not going to be able to do that. Like, I don't know. You know, I was one of those kids. I was told I would never read. I would never write. I would never walk. I'd never live a normal life. And here I am today. I was a teacher for 7 years. I taught middle school kids, the toughest group of the bunch. And people are like, why are you dealing with middle school kids? You're just going to rip your head off.
For you.
So they don't scare me. They're just kids. They need that support. And that's why I came in. Because not only did I teach them, but they taught me about myself too and what capabilities I can do, you know, despite the disability I face every day.
Yeah,
let's not take it easy. Yeah, they're kids, but they're assholes at that age.
Oh yeah, that they are
assholes at that age.
I assume you can quickly realize you don't need to apologize for your language here. We're quite all right with it. So you're amongst friends here.
Hey, it's all good. It's all good, you know. But yeah, it's one of those things. You know, you just gotta keep yourself with your head high and don't let anybody tell you anything different.
Yeah, it's definitely a new situation for my wife and I. But when we were told that there was even a chance that she could have Down syndrome, we spoke to one another and we're like, there's not a single thing that we're ever going to do different than we did with our other two kids. This one's going to get treated exactly the same. She will get scolded the same when she screws up. She will be taught the same. We're not going to let her think that she can't do anything. And I'm going to tell you already, man, she's at a point where she should not technically be at. Like, she is a strong kid. She is incredible.
I was gonna say, yeah, she's already breaking barriers that doctors said she shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I faced too while I was growing up is during that period of time too, I lost my biological mom.
Oh God.
And the funny thing is, I saw it as a blessing because she had me. When she was a teenager, she was only 16 years old. And you're talking about, I'm the oldest out of two. So I had my younger brother 2 years later. And then you're only 18 and you're thinking to yourself, how am I going to raise this kid that has cerebral palsy? But then I also have a second son. But then the funny thing is, my dad, my mom, and then my stepmom, who jumped into the picture, they all kind of co-parented in a sense. So they were all, you know, good friends. And then my stepmom was the one that tried to push my mom into trying to take me to my appointments, take me to school. But, you know, as a teenager, you don't understand that. You can't grasp that because you're still a kid. You still have that mindset.
Whoa.
Uh-oh.
I think we lost you for a second.
What happened?
All right, you're back now. We lost you for a second. You glitched out just a little bit.
Okay, so she passed away at 23, and then my stepmom came into the picture, and she had to make the decision, am I going to take care of this child who basically lost his mom and be his mother for the rest of his life, essentially, or live my life and, you know, finish school on my own and have kids later on. She chose to take care of me, and she made that decision the day of my mom's funeral. And she's taken me, take care of me ever since. And she's been there for me and the huge support throughout that time. And I walked 3 months later after my mom passed away, and she missed me being able to walk. She never got to see me walk, my actual mom. And that was her dream. And I got it done. And I've gotten a lot more done than I should have been done. I mean, I went to college. I got my degree. Things that I should never have accomplished, I've accomplished here today.
That's incredible. Do you have a good relationship with your biological mother when she was still here?
Oh, yeah. She provided a lot of love.
That's awesome.
A lot of, in a sense, that that love, you know, that nurturing. But then as far as education wise and being able to teach me, my stepmom did that. You know?
So I had kind of both sides really good people. About it, in a sense.
Yeah, Justin said you seem like you were surrounded by some really good people.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very fortunate today to be here. When in reality, I should have never had a life today. I shouldn't be able to sit up. I shouldn't be able to walk. I shouldn't be able to do anything. And here I am talking to you both on this podcast and to your audience, being able to share what I've done here.
What were some of the most difficult things you had to deal with in your childhood?
Great question.
You're not far from our age, and we know what it was like being young then. We were assholes.
A lot of it was more of a sense of fitting in, belonging, because physically I looked different. I mean, the way that I would talk, the way that I would do things. At first, some kids were real, real assholes. Like, they would just flat out say stuff. And then they would get to know me and they'd be like, oh, wait a minute. But David's just like us, except it takes him longer to do things. And then eventually they would come around. And then as the years progress, one of the things that I was taught by my stepmom was, take a moment to tell your story to your classmates. No matter if it takes 5-10 minutes. That way, you'll start opening up their minds. And then that way they'll start understanding who you are and what you deal with and your disability itself. And eventually down the line, if they see somebody with a disability, not just yours, but any disability, they'll learn to include them more and to be more understanding and compassionate towards it.
Yeah, and I think, first off, I'm glad that you started out the show by talking about what cerebral palsy actually is. But I think when you're at that age, when you're a young kid, you know the term and you associate it. I think when you're a kid, you associate it with how a person looks or acts, and you don't really understand what it is. Because, you know, you say the word Down syndrome, an image comes to your head. You say cerebral palsy, an image comes to your head. There's a lot of different diseases and things that people deal with that we all associate that image with, but we don't really know what's behind their disease.
And then at the same time, at that age, that you also group everything as the same thing.
Right.
Yeah,
it's all the same thing. Like, the person has that. Well, that just means they're slow. That's what it came down to. And then as you get older, you start to learn, like, that's not necessarily true. This is just a physical thing.
Right,
we didn't get educated on that pretty very well in elementary and middle school.
Justin, who are you talking to? They told you be kind to others. What part of that didn't you understand?
I never said I wasn't.
Oh, you know, it's funny that you mentioned image. I had a tough time, you know, with my image growing up because I look so different. There were times where I struggled accepting myself with my disability, you know, because I thought, you know, kids weren't going to accept me. I was always really self-conscious, and especially when it came to, you know, because you see a lot of kids, you know, developing crushes and going out with friends and stuff and doing their own thing, and yet you're sitting here like, you know, who's going to like a guy with a physical disability? Who's going to hang out with a guy who has a physical disability? And then as I got older, I started to realize, you know, who cares what others think? You know, if you don't like what I look like or how I act or whatever, then just go fuck yourself. You know,
yes.
Just don't even, you know.
Listen, man, we worried about all that stuff when we were kids. It's a big that time in our lives. It's all about socializing.
You weren't alone in feeling that. That was all
everybody.
Us.
That was everybody.
Everybody felt that way.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to be accepted and found reasons within themselves that they wouldn't be.
And Justin,
some of us still do it.
I don't know if you're noticing either. But I'm seeing that scruff going on there for Dave. And I'm thinking he would look mighty good with a full beard.
Oh, I had a full-on beard.
Did you? Oh, yeah. My God. I wish I saw that.
I mean, it was getting there.
Glorious.
Yeah. I was like, there's time there, especially the winter time, you know, when it's cold, you're like, you don't need the skin, just grow it out.
Yeah. Goody, what's going on? How are you, man? Nice to see you tonight. All right. So as you started getting older, when is it that you decided on what you wanted to do with your life?
Great question. So I would say around the end of high school, I was like dead set on becoming a meteorologist because I love the weather. I actually wanted to be a hurricane hunter because I'm fascinated by hurricanes. I'm fascinated by how they form.
Man, when I was in high school, I wanted to be a tornado chaser. So I get it. I get it.
Yeah, I enjoy the thrill, that kind of stuff, you know, just being in seeing that form and that danger, you know, just because. But then I realized I suck at math and I can't do math, so I have to find something else.
So you said you taught in middle school. What led you to that? What made you decide, you know what, I'm going to mold minds, I'm going to do this, and pick the toughest grades possible?
Well, my family, I come from a lineage of educators. My family started with my great-great-grandfather, who taught English all the way down to my stepmom. So I have like maybe 50 years worth of lineage in my family. So I was like, oh, what the hell? I'm just going to follow the footsteps and see where it takes me. And believe it or not, in the 7 years I did it, I enjoyed it because I got to meet so many different kinds of kids. I got to mold their minds. Not only did I learn about them, but I learned more about myself and what I could take. You know, I learned I'm not a yeller, but I do like to explain to kids why they were wrong, you know? Yeah. And I'm very firm. Like I told kids, if I got to talk to you and stoop down to your level, and since you like to cuss so much, then I'll just go down to your level and explain it your way. And I was a tough love kind of guy, you know? Like, I'm tough on you because I'm not tough on you because I don't like you. I'm tough on you because I believed in you. And mind you, I dealt with kids that were suspended, expelled, high tardies. So those were the kids that I dealt with every day, just those kids.
How did you land that gig to have to deal with those kids?
Well, this was 5 years after I taught. Then I transitioned into like becoming a youth advocate. Uh-huh. And I just work with all boys. 15 boys from 6th to 8th grade. And they were some of the roughest kids you could deal with on the block. Like, I mean, my office, like, I kid you not, my office, I'd go into my office and the whiff of weed. You could smell the weed from a mile away because these kids would bring like bags of weed and like vapes in their backpacks, and they'd be selling the vapes across campus. And I'd be the one catching them.
Jesus, man.
That's a lot of free weed for you.
You should have seen his drawer.
I'm going to assume you live in a metropolitan area.
I actually live in Florida. So I don't know if you guys have ever been to Florida before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Which part?
Yeah. I mean, and the thing that those kids, you know, they'd be cool with me, you know, because I'd bring snacks. I'd bring all kinds of stuff. Like,
well, yeah, you're feeding their munchies, man.
I find out, oh, you've been skipping class and stuff. And I'm like, no, I've been skipping class. I'm like, according to what I'm seeing on your schedule you have. And I've been talking to your teachers. So, you know, and I'm very, like, I don't sugarcoat stuff. So I'm like, I don't believe any of your bullshit that you're saying to me. And I tell it exactly how it is right now. I'm telling you. And they'll be like, Mr. David, you said bullshit. I'm like, don't you talk? And he's like, yeah.
Damn straight I did.
I'm like, I'm explaining it straight to you.
What's one of the craziest stories? I know you can't name names or get personal. You can't get too personal. But what's one of the craziest stories that you've had while working with these kids? Well, something that had like real shock value where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm dealing with this.
I had a kid my last year at the on the job run away from home.
No.
Mm-hmm. It was terrible. I mean, I got a call at like 3 a.m. from the parent, and they were like, my kid ran away from home. And the next day I woke up at 5 a.m. and I had to call my top supervisor and break it down to him. I'm like, so-and-so ran away from home. And they're like, how did you know? And I'm like, the last time I spoke with him was five days prior. And then he was gone from home for about five days. And thanks to the power of social media and the power of, you know, just everybody in the community and the school, that we found him. He was walking home from all the way down past Orlando back home. And the reason being was because these kids were influencing him, and he apparently was some sort of like quote unquote gang initiation.
Oh God.
And you know how these kids are so influenced by social media. Yep. And the kids that they hang out with. That's why it's so important that if you have a child, for example, your child, if they get involved in that stuff early, shut it down. Shut it down early, because the later you wait, the worse it gets.
Yeah, man. My kid just turned 13 back in November. My son, he's my oldest, and he finally got his first phone, and we're not allowing the social media apps. He's not allowed to have Facebook. He's not allowed to have Instagram. No Snapchat. Nothing like that yet. Rapid Dave, what's going on over there at Strikeout Beer? How you doing, man? Good to see you tonight. Oh, man. Ethan says that his pipes froze up. My God.
Oh, he's no. Cold everywhere.
Goody's cold up in Michigan.
Florida?
Oh, Florida. If I'm from Florida, and if it gets down to like 45, 40 degrees, I'm freezing. Like right now, my heater went out, so I'm down to a little, you know, those little generators that port heat. That's what I have in my room right now, just so when it gets real cold, I just shut my room and let that thing run.
Listen, let's be real. I've known people who lived in Florida. Once it hits 70, they're in jackets.
Oh, I'm not. I'm comfortable with that.
But like, God, most of our nation right now is like in a cold snap, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It seems like it. I mean, look at the
Mr. Meteorologist.
Yeah. Oh, you keep glitching out on us a little bit there, David. Gemma, thank you so much for rating us over on Twitch. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining us and bringing your friends here.
And that's in Texas, right, Rapid Dave? 15 degrees?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the crowd tonight that you guys got going on here.
Guys, if any of you have a question for our special guest, Dave, please feel free. We'll keep going a little bit here, but I know that we're probably going to get into some wrestling stuff, because that seems to be a big part of your show. But what I wanted to ask you was, when you were a bit younger, did you struggle with independence? Like, not so much having independence, but wanting it or trying to gain it?
Oh yeah, I did, because kids and especially teenagers, you know, let's say 15, 16, you know, they start learning how to drive, doing things like that. I ended up getting my permit around that time, or a little older, but I realized as I tried driving, I get these nervous tics when you jump due to loud noises. So because I would jump, it could be, or I could jump even if you were to tap me on the shoulder, but I don't notice it. Mm-hmm. Like if I don't notice it, I jump. And so when that happens, and I thought to myself, if I drive and I jump because of a small horn or something, I can cause a serious accident. So I said, I'm never ever going to drive, because I don't want to hold under my head that I injured somebody, or forbid, you know, somebody passes away because I crashed or something.
Yeah. I heard you say in one of your episodes, that you struggled with accepting help too, and then you finally came to the realization that, you know, if the help's there, the help's offered, that you should take it.
Oh yeah, up to this year, I mean, last year was really the point where I'm like, you know what, I gotta accept it because my body's starting to break down. And mind you, I'm a big fitness person. I mean, I'm very active. I used to be a three sport athlete. I'm a 3-time former state champion cyclist. And so I had
That's
to start
incredible.
Really, really focusing on my health and building myself back up.
I was gonna try to get into that too. Is your podcast is Cerebral Palsy and Fitness Podcast? I wanted to know how you got into the fitness aspect of it. Is that, I'll just let you explain that. I'm not even gonna ask it how I wanted to ask it. Let us know.
Well, I got into fitness due to the fact that years prior, when I was around 14, 15, I was told by doctors if I didn't change the way that I was living, you know, I was very sedentary, didn't really move, didn't really do much.
Yeah.
That I could end up back in a wheelchair, you know, because I started out in a wheelchair before I started walking. So I told myself, I got to kick myself into gear and do these things. And all of a sudden I started working out and I hated it at first. You know how everybody is when they first start something. And then I started to really enjoy it and eventually started seeing the results. And then after that, then I really got into it. Then I got into football and that helped too. I mean, being a running back, you gotta have some power behind you. So I was like, I was one of those trash talkers, but I could back it up too.
Yeah.
And then I do a lot of weightlifting. And nowadays I do a lot of resistance bands and body weight and a lot of stretching, which is real important.
That's incredible. I'm honestly amazed that you played football.
Running back.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Running back and center.
Goes from he's not supposed to walk to cycling and playing football and being a running back on the football team.
And winning 3 state titles as a cyclist.
That's wild. That's wild. That's just determination. That's determination. That's perseverance. Like, did you just get in your own head and say, you know what, I'm here to prove everybody wrong. I have to keep pushing for all of this. Oh, no, he froze on us. There he is. Okay. I think we're struggling a little bit with his connection. Just a little bit. He'll be back in a second. I believe it.
That's amazing, though.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So if he said running back, I was like, what?
Yeah. Mark, that's right. That's amazing. A true inspiration to just continue going like that and just keep pushing. Unbelievable. Get better. Oh, no, we lost.
Oh, no, he's gone.
No, it looks like Jared pulled him down for a second. A center and a running back.
And a running back.
And to be
pretty small center, I'll say that.
Three-time state champion as a cyclist.
I didn't even know that was a sport. Like, well, I know it's a sport. I didn't know it was like that organized of a sport.
Oh no, he's gone.
Oh,
gone.
He's gone. Gone.
But he must be struggling with his internet connection, and it's sad because I really wanted to start getting into the WWE and the wrestling because that's something that our crowd has really been looking forward to. Not necessarily tonight's show, but we've been having people asking us about WWE and are we going to talk wrestling and saying that we have to do excuse me, we have to do a WrestleMania special and all that.
Well, first it's going to be Rumble, and I think we're gonna try to do just a straight episode aside from the sports episode, just dedicated to wrestling and try instead of trying to work it in.
Yeah.
It just froze up in here.
That's right. We knew you would be back, Dave. We knew we'd be doing a Rumble preview. Yeah, so we're just gonna get into that now because our show, we have a separate branch. We've got a sports show, and we've had people asking our sports guys and us when we're going to start doing some wrestling content. And I figured no better time like the present when we have someone in here who's really into the sport. So you seem to do a lot of content that's related to wrestling, all things wrestling.
Yes.
You had, like you said, a friend of yours who happens to be a wrestler on the show. That's your most recent episode. I did listen to that one.
I had two wrestlers on the show.
Yeah, I did.
Not just on that one, but I had another one previously, and he's one of the He is the only wrestler with cerebral palsy in the world, Gregory Iron.
Yes, I did listen to part of that one too. I did listen to the part of that one.
Yeah.
So what got you into wrestling and how big a part of your life is it?
As a kid, I've been a big fan. Like, I had the action figures, the play sets. I would watch SmackDown every Thursday coming up on UPN, if you don't remember that.
Yes.
That channel. Uh-huh. Monday Night Raw on TNN.
It started there.
Spike. I didn't go to my first show until 2007. I saw John Cena, Kurt Angle, Shawn Michaels. And ever since then, I've been involved in watching wrestling, and I've been to so many shows, and I've had these, you know, these amazing encounters with a lot of different wrestlers.
I was gonna ask.
Favorite all time.
Oof, favorite all time. Are we talking about past, present?
All time. One.
Undertaker.
That's a good one.
Valid.
Deathman,
that's,
you know, a good one. Yeah, past the Deathman.
That's a
Corey, good one. Same question.
You're asking me?
WWE, WWF, WCW, NWA, it doesn't matter.
Macho Man, I like that.
So, I'm going to give you the answer based on whose matches I enjoyed watching the most. When I was growing up...
You like the small guys, I remember that.
When I was growing up, I always chose WCW over WWF, WWE. And there were a bunch of people that I liked in there, but I really liked, like Justin said, the smaller guy, the Lucha Libres. And I loved watching the matches between Juventud Guerrero and, I believe, Rey Mysterio. All the those matches were my favorite matches. Just that high flying, high momentum, high speed, just go. Like, those were the most fun to me.
I think some of Mysterio's best matches were against Eddie Guerrero.
Oh, so I guess to answer your question, Juventud was one of my favorite.
WCW and WWF, when they both came over, some of their best matches were them together. Just being best friends outside of the ring, their chemistry was wild.
La Parca and Psychosis. There's a good one from Lee. Psychosis was pretty cool.
Yeah, so now I guess I got to answer it because I asked it.
I mean, I would say, I'm going to say it. Benoit and Guerrero were great paired together as wrestlers. As wrestlers, I'm just gonna clarify it out there, out the air. As wrestlers, they were great.
Benoit was one of the best to do it. He was just a dick.
I don't know why I was drawn to the Flock when I was a kid too. The Raven,
Raven
and Saturn. Raven, and, yep. I really liked Raven
and the Rascals. You know, yes. Perry Saturn,
yep.
Dean Malenko.
Nope. For me, it was always WWF. I never got into WCW like you did, Corey. Never.
Like, no, you always
when Nash went over and NWO started, I would kind of flip back and forth. But during that whole Monday Night War, I was more generally always watching Raw instead of Nitro.
Lita.
Because I always liked Shawn Michaels. And that's going back to... Fuck, as long as I can remember. So, like, the Rockers.
Yeah.
I remember him. Marty watching Jannetty. Him and Marty Jannetty.
See,
And the Rockers were my favorite tag team.
The barbershop incident.
I cried. I was a little kid. I cried. And I hated Shawn Michaels for about a week. And then he came out with the Heartbreak Kid, and that was it. I was Shawn Michaels from then on. That was it.
Let me tell you this. I Trish saw Marty Jannetty years ago at a wrestling convention. He was drunk as shit. I mean, he was out. Like, he was out of it. Like, his career went really down the toilet ever since after Michaels.
Yeah, it's a shame. That's a lot of them have those issues.
I mean,
I guess it was just the lifestyle too.
I was saying, like, think about what they put themselves through.
Because you have Jeff Hardy. Jake the Snake went down that road for a while. DDP's helped a lot of people. Diamond Dallas Page.
DDP has been a major difference.
Diamond Yoga or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So to be honest, I have not watched a lot of wrestling since the Attitude Era.
The athleticism now is wild.
Is it
things wild. They do? Yes, it's all
predetermined.
Fake. The shit they do in the ring's not fake. They know who's going to win, but that shit, man, is crazy.
We have a question for our resident wrestling expert, Dave. How do you feel about Rey's son? Like, how are you going to play off like you hate your father so much?
Well, it's kind of hard considering you've been under your father's spotlight since you were a kid. You know, the toughest thing for him is, what kind of legacy are you trying to build? Because you, first off, you as a face, it wouldn't work because you already know you're going to be surrounded by your father. And then you as a heel, you're still going to be under your, think about it. You're going to be, as a face, you're going to be under your dad's shadow. But then as a heel, I see him as Eddie. I don't know about you, but I see Eddie Guerrero, him as a heel.
I think he's better than Eddie. The heat he has the chance to be better than Eddie, because the heat he gets, all he has to do is stand there and the camera goes to him,
literally,
and the entire arena jumps on him. The heat he's bringing is fantastic. He's the best heel WWE's had since Eddie Guerrero.
Honestly, he doesn't need a stable. He doesn't need the Judgment Day. He can do it all himself.
Look, when he joined them, though, he was still baby fat. He was still weak on the mic. The Judgment Day is helping him. He will take off on his own. He's going to get a title. There's no doubt about it.
Vinny says he's earning it.
I agree.
Vinny says he's an entertaining heel. So he clearly does his job properly.
He is a fantastic heel. Like, you love to hate him.
Scoobs's comment there, but he gets to sleep with Mama. She's just sex.
Not Mama, Mommy.
Mommy, yes.
Is that
Rhea Ripley? Is
I
gorgeous.
I don't get
Jared,
it.
Jared,
I don't get it.
Rhea Ripley, R-E-A-H-E-A.
Can you explain to me what this infatuation is with this woman? I see her everywhere, and I see guys drooling over her, and I'm like, no.
She's supposed to be this generation's China. That's what it is.
She's way better looking.
How many of y'all like China? Like, Lita, okay? Lita.
Oh, Lita? Oh yeah.
Lita was in. But China.
China was just big.
Yes, and so Rhea? Is Rhea. Rhea's Jack.
Yes, but Rhea is beautiful.
You want to sleep with the man, Justin? I'm just saying.
Don't come at me. Look at the chat. Look at the chat.
I know.
Everybody's saying Rhea. Mommy is
you guys are wild. You guys are wild.
What's your thoughts on AEW, David?
I think
it's a joke.
Physique.
I've been to a couple AEW shows. Like, honestly, the booking's been atrocious. Like, you know,
don't show that picture. Don't show that image. That is
no.
Not her right
now. One. Short black hair, tattoos everywhere.
Tony Khan doesn't know how to book. I'm just saying.
Exactly. And
that picture, Jared, she actually looks normal.
From the highlights, like I've seen it because I don't really watch it. Their cameramen are trained to zoom on their women. That's how they sell their brand. Every picture of an AEW female wrestler, you have a picture of their ass. You can do a little better than that.
Either the picture or the video. Either or. Picture or video. And then, not only that, but I hate...
Plus, Corey, she's Australian. So when she talks, it's an automatic...
He's trying to say something, Justin.
Oh.
There's bleeding every single show. You know, like, Moxley's always bleeding.
Yep. And WWE got rid of blood, really, didn't they? They kind of pulled
back
on that.
Shortly. I mean.
So, back when I was younger, man, and they used to do the, what'd they have? The reality show where you could try to win to be a WWE superstar. And that's when everything started coming out. So, they started having the documentaries about how they do the shows and everything. I remember seeing, like, little blades and stuff up under the turnbuckles and how these guys would have to grab them and like act like they're wiping sweat off their face. Is that something you could ever picture yourself doing if you wanted to, you know, say you wanted to get into wrestling? Could you picture yourself doing some crazy shit like that?
No.
Like, these guys are crazy.
Yeah, I mean, even if you watch the Maven Huffman show, his YouTube channel, Maven, who was in the WWE from 01 to 05, he explains that secret of blading, how they used to do it. He said they used to tape. He used to tape his wrist. He used to slick a tiny little triangle underneath the tape. And when it was time for him to take it out, he would take off the tape, have the blade, and like hide in the corner and just blade without nobody looking at him.
Yeah, like they're trying to like, oh my god, or like doing this. Oh, yeah. You know, I will say though, people, you know, the biggest knock on wrestling is, oh, it's fake. Oh, it's fake. Okay, so it's scripted, right? They have a script that they need to follow, but the athleticism is insane, and those chops—it's
next level.
Those chops are real. Those Ric Flair chops.
Walter, we're talking about. Oh my god, his chops are disgusting.
I saw
about Gunther's chops.
Or Gunther, yeah, Gunther. Now
that man, he has bricks for hands. What was it last year at Mania? There was a three-way match between three beasts. It was
McIntyre, Famous, and Gunther, I think, were the.
Yep. And that was literally a slap fest. That's all it was, but it was brutal. Everybody, all of them are walking out and they're already bruising on their chests. It's.
And Gunther's like, this ain't nothing to me.
Yep.
You know.
Robbie said Tony Khan hired all ex porn cameramen. And I just
what it seems like.
I wanna ask Justin, why do you feel like they need to train the cameramen to focus on the women?
I don't think they need training to do that. I think they make it a focus, like that's their focus, is to do that. Like what WWE did in the Attitude Era. When the women wrestlers weren't really wrestlers, they were just there to look at.
A sideshow.
They were there for show. That's what AEW is doing.
And you know what? I think that
there's one.
But it's an example.
I think Lita and Trish and all them, like, they paved the way for the female wrestlers.
Absolutely. They both come back, done matches recently.
Can you comment on this that Lee said, ask Mask Transit if it's fake? Oh, wait, you can't, because of his match with New Jack, he killed himself. I don't know who those people are. Can someone explain that?
Oh, well, the New Jack thing, it's legit. Like, he literally almost killed somebody. He talked about it.
This happened in the 90s.
I don't know the name.
This was ECW.
ECW.
I don't know the name.
He confirmed it on the Dark Side of the Ring. He almost.
Yeah. The kid was 17. 17, and they let him wrestle this pro wrestler, and this dude beat the actual shit out of this fucking kid.
Literally.
ECW is not for the faint of heart either. Like, I remember some of those matches. Like, I didn't watch a whole lot of ECW, but the stuff that I did get to see,
that had a cult
like
following.
ECW was like backyard wrestling inside of an arena.
Yep.
That's literally what it was. John says, you're absolutely correct. The AEW women's roster is treated like eye candy because they're presented as such.
Every time. So I follow a lot of
stuff. I have to agree with that one.
I follow a lot of stuff on Facebook about wrestling. Every post that comes up about AEW, it is the same female wrestler's ass. It's sky blue. And that's it. That's how they've made their name right now. If it wasn't for her, nobody would give a shit.
Yeah.
I mean, they do have one of the better wrestlers who hopefully doesn't go back to them.
And also, you got to think, ask Austin about whether it's fake or not, because Austin, you know how he got power drive on his head? Got partially paralyzed after that power driver.
Yeesh. Well, didn't Austin Theory just get dropped on his head like this week?
Oh, yeah.
And that didn't look good.
Rich Holland can't wrestle. He injures people.
Yep.
How
was he the one that hurt Big E?
Big E, yeah.
Same one. That mother. He's done.
Justin's been going back and watching a lot of the older stuff. What are you on Peacock, right, Justin?
Yeah.
Is that where you're watching it at? Yep. Coming back through all that. What have you gotten to the Owen Hart thing yet?
They have a documentary on it. I haven't seen it yet.
I don't know if they did, but like, I'm not saying there's a documentary, but like, you're watching through all the old matches.
Oh, I watched that paper. That was one of the first pay per views I watched. That was one of the first ones. They completely cut that out.
I remember watching that live, and I remember seeing him slip, and I remember just going black.
Yep, they completely cut all of that out. They don't even show the start of his entrance.
As a kid, man, I thought that was the wildest thing.
Like when Kurt Angle was dropped from I think the top of the parking lot onto the ground, and you see his leg broken at the end, and his head was busted. I legit thought he like died or something.
New Jack threw that dude off a 30-foot scaffolding to get back at him. Vinny says he'd rather watch TNA than AEW.
Speaking about TNA, they're making a comeback.
Are they really?
Yeah, I thought they were dead. New belts. They got back to their TNA brand name.
And they're going to try to make a name again off of Dolph Ziggler.
Yep. Dolph Ziggler.
What if you go by there? Nick Nemeth?
Nick Nemeth now. Yeah, Nick Nemeth.
Jonathan.
And then good old Dana Brooke. He's also in TNA.
I'm trying to remember. Did they continue the broadcast after Owen fell?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they continued it, right?
Yeah,
continued.
I'm amazed they went through. Because John just said that after a while, they had JR announce his death.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, TNA did amazing with their show. That Saturday night.
When did they start making their comeback?
We already know that because she said goodbye to TNA, so I'm pretty sure she's headed back to WWE.
Naomi, yeah. So, I'm hoping she brings Sasha with her.
So for all of our, excuse me, my voice still isn't completely back. For all of our wrestling fans that are here in chat, where are you thinking CM Punk is going to land?
He's in WWE.
He's in WWE. You don't know that?
Right. I know that. I know that. But didn't they say he was going, like he was visiting the different shows?
No. Oh, the show he already picked.
I just saw it last night or yesterday.
Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. That's what you're talking about, right? The three brands.
Yeah, the three brands.
He's already signed. He's on Raw.
He's on Raw now?
Yeah, he's on Raw.
I just turned on the most recent episode of Raw, which would have been this past week. And I was,
if you're on Peacock, you're like 4 weeks behind.
I still think Randy got overshadowed by his return.
Daddy chill.
That was an absolute shoot that they cut out. Seth Rollins' reaction, that was a shoot. He had no fucking clue, and he was 100% pissed off.
Yeah, I could tell he was pissed off. Like, I was like, that's gotta be legit. I can't be
100%. He would have fought CM Punk on the spot.
I wanted to see it happen, actually.
Like, that would have been legit fists.
Brian, I love it. I'm more of a TNA match. Sorry.
But I mean,
I love it.
WWE, they made the right decision by bringing him in the way they did and in Chicago. The pop he got was insane.
Now, let me ask you both this. How long do you think he's going to last in the E this time around?
If he doesn't headline Saturday or Sunday at WrestleMania, he won't be back.
That quick?
Mm-hmm. That's the only reason he came back to WWE is because I can... I'm 95% sure they had to guarantee him headlining WrestleMania because he's never done it.
What, winning the belt too is probably going to be on his agenda.
Yeah, he'll be the one to take it off of Rollins.
And does Cody take the belt off of Reigns then?
Yes.
Is that the plan?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Again, I haven't watched a hell of a lot, but I heard that Cody Rhodes is fantastic.
Cody Rhodes is top three right now. All around. Mic work in the ring, putting people over,
and actually
working, not wrestling. He wrestles every week, almost every week.
I mean, also, and he also cuts a promo every week. And yep. Did you all see when he said yes to a guy that was going to get married during a house show? He said, yes, I'll be your best man.
This draws Aaron out. There you go. This is another one of our guys who really likes the WWE.
I've been watching the Bills game, and it's over now, so I can come in here and interject a little bit. And yes, he did. Somebody actually held up a sign and said, will you be my best man? And he agreed to do it. It's all over social media.
Yeah, and
Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes is a good guy.
Genuine dude. Yes.
That's awesome.
Like, his dad raised him right. And he's trying to finish his dad's story, and WWE is stupid if they don't let him.
Yep.
They're stupid if they don't book that.
But see, Dave, let me ask you this. Where do you think this is going with all the Rock speculation? Because they're saying he's going to fight Reigns at WrestleMania.
Nope.
He just signed a one more match deal.
Australia paid a lot of money to have elimination.
They don't need a belt for that match.
Right.
And that's not going to, that's just for the head of the table. I think it'll be for the belt. Because I think you'll see Rock make a surprise appearance at WrestleMania and kind of interfere and help Cody get over on Reigns.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Because I think The Rock's going to lose at Elimination Chamber because they will put the belt on it.
Hold on. So you think that The Rock is going to sign a one more match deal?
He already has. Let me finish.
I get it. He already did. Let me finish my statement. He's gonna sign this deal so he could do one match, and he's gonna do it to lose.
Yes.
Yep. Absolutely.
Really?
It's a work.
Putting him over. That's what they call it.
He's gonna put Reigns over.
Let him do it.
But what it's going to do long term is it's going to put Cody over. Because Cody will be the first one to pin Roman Reigns in over 3 years.
Nope.
And The Rock couldn't even do it.
In a singles match. Jey Uso did it last year. In a tag match. It's a lot of moving parts right now, Corey.
I just have a hard time Cody over and make that important.
I don't know. I have a hard time believing that these guys are going to come out of retirement, do one match, and do it to lose.
He's so they're talking paid a shitload of money.
They're talking Australia or Saudi Arabia at Crown Jewel because they pay bucks for these guys to do it.
Now, let me ask y'all this.
Australia only paid for Elimination Chamber if The Rock would be there.
Hold on, Justin.
Go ahead, Dave.
Where does LA Knight fall into all this? Because he's right now getting a mega push. You know,
poor dude, bad timing for him. They should have pulled the trigger on him a long time ago.
Brian Kent, Jesus.
I'll throw one here at you. What if MJF comes?
Ooh.
It's a good problem to have, but it's gonna make for a crowded table.
Yes, it is.
It is. Too many egos.
100%, man.
That's my thought, man. The ego. It's the ego.
But Corey, to go back to this Rock coming back to lose.
Uh-huh.
Vince McMahon fucked up last year. He had two chances to pull the belt off of Reigns when people were way over, and he didn't do it. He should have pulled the trigger on Sami Zayn in Canada, beating Roman Reigns.
That was crazy.
That place would have gone fucking crazy.
It literally fallen apart.
And then you can easily pull the title off of him at WrestleMania. And then they blew it at WrestleMania because Cody was ready. The world was ready for Cody to win. And a lot of people were shocked that they didn't put him over there.
This when they talk about the pageantry of pro wrestling, this is exactly what they mean. And it's not the pageantry of the wrestlers themselves. I think it's of the writers. Look how close you have to pay attention to the feel, to the pulse of your fans.
That's why I've gotten back into it.
I started following that, and it's so interesting. Listening to you guys and reading chat and seeing what they're saying, it's crazy. It's crazy to me. Like Aaron said, all the moving parts. It's wild to me.
And it's cool because of the new partnership that they have with the UFC, with that company that owns the UFC also.
Oh, yeah, TKO.
Yep. So it's not just Vince McMahon running the show anymore. Vince is completely out of it.
Vince, yeah, he sold it. He doesn't own it. Yeah. It's not his. He has nothing to do with
Triple
it.
Triple H is running creative, which I should have think should have been done a long time ago. Triple H is a genius with this stuff. He's got a very good wrestling mind. So to watch some of the stuff that's going on now, it's a crowded room, but it's very entertaining for all the different possibilities that could come out. And Survivor Series, when I saw that, Randy Orton made his return, and then CM Punk came out at the end. I was just like, whoa, it's crazy. The building almost exploded. It was in Chicago. Mm-hmm. It was nuts.
Hometown.
Yep.
Dave, what's your coolest experience at a WWE event? You've been to a couple different ones, right?
I've been to a couple different ones. Like, coolest experience. Oh, man. I wouldn't say necessarily like a WWE event, but I've been to a couple wrestling conventions, and I've been able to meet, you know, firsthand. I've met, Brian Cage. I've met Pentagon in Phoenix a couple years ago. Right now, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm actually taking this podcast to St. Augustine this year because I'm actually going to be one of the media interviewers for the River City Wrestling Con. So I'll get to interview the top wrestlers, current, past, and present. So we're talking about Mick Foley, Lita, Sergeant Slaughter, anybody that's been in the wrestling business. I might have the opportunity to actually sit with them for 5 minutes and get to interview them on my show. And that's something, you know,
that's really cool.
Goals.
Yeah, that's big. That's big moments for you, man. So yeah, what kind of direction do you want to take your podcast in?
So my podcast is not for me. It's not about, you know, monetary or anything like that. I just want to show people that no matter how hard things get, if you put in the work and you believe in yourself, you can accomplish anything. And honestly, the money's the last thing on my mind. As long as people are entertained by it and they enjoy it, that's what matters to me. And they learn from it.
Hell yeah, man. You're gonna keep up the wrestling content? You're gonna keep doing a lot of that?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. The wrestling content will be there. It's just something I enjoy. You know, I want to have something that all kinds of people can enjoy. It could be wrestling, it could be different kinds of sports. You know, I've interviewed Olympic athletes too, and you know, all kinds of people, you know, people like us, everyday people that work hard, people that have different disabilities, you know, all kinds of stuff.
We have to have him on the wrestling show.
I was looking at you. I was waiting for you to say something. I was going to say, Dave, if you ever want to come back on and talk wrestling with these nuts here, you're more than welcome to join us.
Sure. I feel like, and then one of the things, I feel like we could have gone for hours.
That's why I had to break you, because we're almost at that hour mark. So I had to break it just a little bit.
Yeah, one of the things about wrestling shows that I notice is there's lack of accessibility in terms of, I go to a show, I can't really stand for long periods of time, but every time somebody goes to the ring, or anytime I want to go meet somebody, I can't because I'm not fast enough or I can't see something. And it makes you question, what more can these wrestling companies or these facilities can do to make shows more accessible for those with disabilities? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any ideas? Do you have some things in mind?
I'm thinking they should just open up more seating, maybe, you know, not so close to the rim, but at least close enough to where you can see, because there's people in wheelchairs too.
Yeah.
You know?
And people are always standing in those arenas, man, especially during the entrances. So, I mean, you don't want someone with a disability who can't stand for a long period of time, or someone who has a wheelchair or something, to be like in the middle of all that mess. You want to kind of be able to see what it is you paid to go see.
And without getting bumped, you know, like one of the shows I went to, this was a small show that Daytona was doing. They were doing a gaming convention with New Japan Pro Wrestling. So I went to this show, and I'm a big fan of Kenny Omega, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I was literally 3 feet from him. I was this close, but I wasn't fast enough to see him. And the security guard goes and says, "All right, everybody out." And I'm like, "God damn it." And I'm like, I should have fallen on the guardrail and just pretended my disability just took over. And I didn't do it.
So, Jared found some information for us. He said that the new arenas that are going to be built will be complying with ADA codes and standards, and then the renovations of old arenas will follow.
Yeah, so I mean, I haven't done any big arenas, so building inspector by trade, but a lot of these small arenas, like smaller sports venues and stuff like that, the code changes. So this year we're going to be they're behind. We're going to the 2021 codes and standards. So we're behind 3 years, and then we adopt the next code cycle will be in 3 years, and we'll adopt the 2024 code. So, but a lot of these ADA standards will be in the new codes coming up that a lot of these arenas will start to abide by.
Yeah, because you know, people with different disabilities deserve to enjoy the show just like anybody else, you know.
So for those of you listening, if you see the background behind David, he's got his own show called David's Cerebral Palsy and Fitness Channel. So he does have a couple of episodes that are centered around wrestling. He has a few friends that he's had on the show that are involved in wrestling and are wrestlers themselves. Make sure you go check out his show and listen to those great episodes. John Bates says, Deadlock Pro Wrestling is a fantastic indie promotion, and they also do a wrestling podcast, DPW. DPW Live. Midget Wrestling is great, too.
I've been wanting to go to a show, and I haven't, and they're from my hometown, too.
They do midget wrestling all the time around here.
There's one.
Yeah, I need to go see one.
Renegade.
I always miss NXT, because NXT, they literally show NXT like a mile from my house. They've had shows, and I always miss it.
Oh, man. All right, so this has been a fun hour. And again, Dave, as I said before, if you want to join us again and talk wrestling, please feel free to reach out, and if there's an event coming up and you want to hit on it, let me know. Because I think this was a good show. This was a fun time. I was happy to have you on.
Yeah, I hope you guys learned a lot, and I hope it was informative. And I definitely enjoyed the vibe and the crowd tonight. And this you guys as hosts, you guys have been amazing, wonderful.
I appreciate that, man.
Thanks for being here, man.
Definitely, same here.
For everybody else, don't forget to check out our sponsor, The Trendy Forbes, at www.thetrendyforbes.com. You can get some NDT gear. You can get some other gear as well. Check her out on Facebook. Book a party with her. Host a party. Earn some free crap yourselves. Make sure that when you do get some of this amazing NDT gear, such as, you know, this beautiful tumbler, which keeps your stuff cold for a fraction of the cost of a Stanley Cup, use code NDT at checkout. It's 10% off for you, and it helps the show, helps us put out a better product for you guys. So we want you to check her out and show her a little support, show us a little support. And guys, we're just so grateful that you're here hanging out with us, having a good time, talking some wrestling and shit like that. Aside from that, guys, next show is next Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sports show this upcoming Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check out Mark and Aaron, and I'm sure Justin and I will pop in. It's Justin's weekend off. Uh-huh. We'll see what's up.
I'm almost certain that both of those shows on Sunday are going to be sports shows.
Oh, you think so?
They usually end up being.
We are going on during the last game of the weekend.
For the amount of people that we have coming in and commenting on stuff on Facebook that love wrestling, we might end up having to do a separate wrestling show from time to time. I'm
down on that.
We might have to have our own deal. Diane, what's going on? Thank you for coming in and checking everything out. I appreciate it. But
it also gives our media needs.
Keep an eye out, because we have a guest coming on Sunday.
We do. You're gonna have to do something to announce that. We'll have to.
We're gonna make an announcement about that. But we got somebody coming on Sunday for us. So it was actually in the movie 42 with Jackie Robinson movie. So,
Bolo guys, big guest coming up.
Keep an eye out for that post.
But guys, again, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Thank you for spending some time with us and with David. Do not forget to check out his show over on Spotify, David's Cerebral Palsy and Fitness Podcast. Show him a little bit of love, a little bit of support. And guys, we'll see you all next week.
Later.
All right.
All right, y'all. It's the Nonsense and Deep Thoughts Podcast.